What's Yours is Mine by Nick Yates. Read by Mike Rogers. He opened his eyes to nothing. The darkness was complete, no shadows or shades of grey, just black. Where am I? Where's Dad?
Dad! Dad!
He shouted, an edge of panic and fear in his voice. It's okay, son, I'm here. Relief washed over him. His dad was here too, somewhere in that darkness. He tried to stand, tried to go to him, but he couldn't. Something around his chest restrained him, pinned his back to a cold, wet stone wall. He felt at a leather strap with his fingers. It was tight, immovable. He struggled, tried to wriggle under the strap, but there was one more at his waist.
Dad, I'm stuck. Where are we?
It's okay, son. I'm here. He sounded confused.
Don't worry, Dad. Try to stay calm.
He forced himself to stop struggling and took deep breaths, trying to clear his mind like his dad had taught him before he'd lost. He had woken up to this darkness with no memory of how he'd got here, just a buzzy headache and a cotton wool mouth. When he thought back, it felt like days, but in truth it could have been hours. He just didn't know. He'd driven his old man back from the hospital and had sat with him in his front room. The doctor had confirmed it, what they had been fearing for some time now. Their conversation had been difficult. His dad had been upset and angry, struggling to cope with the reality of what was happening. He could understand that, of course. Who would enjoy being told they were slowly losing their mind? Told that very soon those little episodes of forgetfulness would get worse. How was anyone supposed to cope with the prospect of forgetting their own children's names, forgetting they even had any children? It must be terrifying, particularly for a man like him. He instinctively reached out, but the straps held him fast.
Dad, hold on, okay? I'll think of something.
Okay, son. He thought carefully, then checked his pockets for his phone. It was still there, but the battery was dead. How long have I been here? Perhaps not long. The battery had been low already.
Dad? Do you have your phone?
No answer.
Can I have your phone? Would you slide it to me?
He heard a shuffling in the darkness. He was glad his dad wasn't panicking. After everything that had happened recently, this must be hell. He thought back again to the conversation they'd had, emotional and fraught, made worse by his dad's wife, Rita, hanging around in the background, listening in. He'd never liked the woman, never trusted her. She was a real bitch, a gold digger in his view. His sister, Sally, had pure hate for Rita, though, couldn't even look at her. She called her the painted whore and had said it to her face the first and only time they had met. He pictured Rita's Botox face in his mind, mascara-heavy eyes wide with shock at the news, rage appearing when she realised what it meant. There was a scraping sound, and something hit his foot. The phone. He reached down and pressed the screen. It lit up. No service. One bar of battery left. He swore under his breath and tried to stay calm. The screen pushed back the darkness slightly, a nimbus of light spreading out. It wasn't enough to see his dad, but enough to see what was immediately around him. A basement of some kind, judging from the pile of old boxes to his left. He looked at the screen. Still one bar. Still no service. He thought about turning it off, saving the battery just in case, but he needed to know where they were. He reached across, straining against the straps, fingers brushing rotten cardboard that fell apart as he touched it. Something fell out. An exercise book of some sort, old and dusty with familiar handwriting. It was his handwriting, or had been, 20 years ago. We're in Dad's basement. The thought shook him. He looked at the phone again. Still one bar of battery, but now one bar of signal. A spike of adrenaline shot up his spine, scattering his thoughts. Who has done this? How? Why? Make a call before the phone dies. Who should I call? 999? The phone started to ring, vibrating in his hand. His sister's name appeared on the screen.
Please, God, don't let it die on me. He pressed answer, and her voice came immediately, urgent. Dad, where the hell are you? Why did you hang up when I called? What happened at the hospital? Sally, listen. You have to come and help us. We're trapped in Dad's basement.
David?
The phone went dead, the nimbus of light disappearing, plunging him back into black.
Dad, did you hear? That was Sally. Don't worry, she's coming to help.
Okay, son.
Did she hear? Will she come?
He hoped so, but he hadn't had time to explain properly. Who could have done this? In Dad's own basement? He thought back to earlier, sitting in the front room. He thought about Rita's face again, the reel of emotions he had seen playing out in her features, and something else.
Her? How?
He ran over the events in his mind. She'd been the dutiful wife while they'd talked through the consequences of what the doctor had said, listening in silence, then disappearing to the kitchen, coming back with a pot of tea and a plate of biscuits. Rita didn't do biscuits. She was a health freak, a body obsessive. The word sugar wasn't in her vocabulary. He sat upright, eyes wild.
The bitch. The fucking bitch.
His dad was wealthy in anyone's book. Oil executives tended to be. He guessed he was probably worth a few million at least. The woman knew that. He was sure it was why she had married him. She'd get it all if... He realised what he'd done. The phone call. Sally will be on her way now.
Dad, we've got to get out of here.
No response.
Dad?
Okay, son.
Dad, is that all you can say? We need to find a way out. We're in danger.
Why isn't he more concerned?
I love you, son. Always remember that.
He froze. His dad was an old-school type, brought up not to show his emotions. He'd spent his entire childhood craving affection and attention from the man, but had never got it. Until now.
Yesterday? Was it yesterday?
Between cups of tea, his dad had told him he loved him. The first time he had ever done that, as far as he could remember. He'd cried when he'd heard it. All those emotions held in check for so long, flooding out, bursting the dam he had so painstakingly constructed. It must be the illness. He had read about it, how it could change personalities, turn sufferers into different people. He almost smiled then, the irony of what it had taken to hear those words after so long. Come to think of it, his dad had just said the exact same thing, word for word. Strange.
I love you, son. Always remember that.
Again?
He knew his dad was worried he might soon forget he even had a son to love. Perhaps that was why he had repeated himself.
I love you too, Dad. I don't need to remember it. I'll always know it. Don't worry. We're gonna get out of here. I promise.
He struggled against the straps, desperately trying to find a way out. Then he froze. The darkness had changed, was somehow less substantial. He could see shapes, outlines appearing in the gloom. He looked up at the ceiling. A single light bulb glowed thinly, little more than an orange filament. He saw his dad's silhouette standing, hands by his side.
Dad? Dad? Did you switch on the light? Are you free? Can you untie me?
The figure didn't move.
Dad?
No response.
Dad, what are you doing? Help me.
I love you, son. Always remember that.
I know, Dad. Why do you keep saying that?
He was panicking now. Something was wrong. The light grew brighter. The figure still hadn't moved.
Who is doing this?
He strained his eyes as the room slowly materialised around him. He could see the pinstripe suit worn specifically for the doctor's appointment, rumpled now.
What has happened to his tie?
The face was still in shadow, except the mouth. He looked harder.
What is that in his mouth?
Has he been gagged?
Always remember that.
How is he speaking through that gag?
Slowly, the light intensified until the bulb in the ceiling blazed, illuminating his dad's face fully. A corpse's face.
How? What?
He dangled from the ceiling by his tie, eyes bulging out of a purple, swollen face. It took a moment to sink in. His senses overwhelmed, refusing to believe. He looked again, studied that face, realizing with horror that his dad must have been dead for hours.
How? Who slid the phone across?
Rita stepped out from behind a pillar, held up a voice recorder, and pressed play. The corpse spoke.
I love you, son. Always remember that.
It wasn't a gag. The voice came from a speaker strapped into its mouth, forced in tight between the teeth. His dad had told him he loved him for the last time. The woman stared hard at him, plastic face set in a permanently startled expression. She smiled as she smashed a hammer into his face.
Hello, David. Make yourself comfortable. Sally will be along shortly.